Well, we're in a last lesson on how to study the Bible, and this lesson is dealing with a topical study. So we've looked in this series, and we've looked at all the metaphors of the Bible, the hammer, the sword, all of those different things, and why the Bible ought to be of great value to us, kind of going along with Martin's introduction lesson this morning. Then we took a step into three steps in Bible study: observation, and then we did interpretation, and then we did application. And then we studied a text together, and we've learned how to study a Bible character together. I hope that you will take time to try out one of these, and today we want to look at how to study a topic together. It may be important to know what great men have to say on important subjects, but it is far more important to know what God has to say on these subjects. It is important also to know all that God has to say. If you did not get a handout this morning, please raise your hand. I want you to have a handout. It is a longer handout today, but it looks like this. If you need a handout, raise your hand and we'll get you a handout. One over here, one here, one back to the right. So Brother Steve will help us with that. The only way to know all that God has to say on a subject or on a topic is to go through the Bible on that subject or topic. To do this, it is not necessary to read every verse in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That would be very slow work if we had to do it that way. And so there are topical textbooks, there are topical Bibles, there are concordances that help us to be able to research a topic all the way throughout Scripture. Topical Bible study is the study of the topical teachings in the Bible. You may limit the topic to a single book, such as a study of the teaching in the book of James about the tongue. And you may just study the tongue in the book of James. Or you may also trace the topic throughout Scripture, such as the study of the miracles, all the miracles in the Bible. The topic can be narrow, such as the prophecies regarding Christ's birth, or it can be broad, such as the prophecies in the Bible. And so you can kind of choose the topic that you want to study, narrow, broad, throughout all of Scripture, or just in a particular book of the Bible. Topical Bible study can involve the study of a doctrine, such as the nature of God or the work of the Holy Spirit. It can also involve a practical matter, like the ministries of a local church. The purpose of topical study is not to just satisfy curiosity about a topic, but to learn the Bible so that we can what? Apply it. All Bible study is for application to my life, so that my life is changed to be like Christ. And so, variety of different things here you can do for a topical study. It's important because it provides a logical and orderly method of studying the Bible. You could have your devotions on a topic for a week, and you could have your devotions on a topic for 6 months. You take the topic of love, which would just kind of get into a little bit, and you'll find, boy, there's a lot the Bible says about love. You take the topic of redemption, like I'm going to illustrate this morning, and it may not be 6 months, but boy, it'd be a great doctrinal study for you to understand what the Bible says about the doctrine of redemption. After you've studied a book, maybe a small book like 1 Peter, you can study it again and examine such topics as God's direction for meeting suffering in your life, or the Christian and government, or church leaders' duties, or Christ's example. All those topics are in the book of 1 Peter, and you can learn from them. And so, by way of introduction, just want to give you all the different varieties that you can take in studying a topic of the Scripture. Let me give you some tools for a topical study. They're on page number one. There are three basic tools that I would encourage you to get, Bible study tools that are very helpful. One is a strong, exhaustive concordance. We've dealt with that before. You can get it at Amazon for $13.37, probably plus shipping. And there's the link there. If you don't have a Strong's, I would encourage you to get a Strong's Concordance. They are very easy to use and very helpful in a topical study. The second one that you can get that's very helpful is Knave's Topical Bible. It's $8.49 on Amazon, and there's the link there as well. Third book that I would encourage you to have along with your Bible is Tory's new topical textbook. And in fact, I'm going to give you an illustration of each of these, what you would find in them as we walk through this particular study. But folks, if you're going to study the Bible, you need some tools. And these tools are valuable. These tools are worthy investments. They are books that you can use over and over to search in. And I would recommend that you build your library with these good resources. Other good tools on page number 2 include what is known as ISBE. That's called the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Excellent tool for doing a topical study. And then Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. And then if you're looking for a study Bible that's great for a topical study, the Thompson Chain Reference Bible has numerous topics in the back and cross-references to them and so on. And so just some tools there. If you're serious, if you're getting serious about Bible study, then get yourself some good tools and you'll find that they will help open up the Scriptures for you. Tips, secondly, tips for a topical Bible study, all right? Pick your topic, number one, and understand it probably will not be a one-day study. When you launch into a topical study, you're going to spend some days. You're going to spend some days of research, and you're going to spend some days of reading verses and writing down words that are similar in the Bible to the topic that you're studying, and recording lessons that you learn from each passage that you walk through, and doing it from Genesis through Revelation, and keeping track of the verses that you're looking at and what verses to look at and so on. As you study certain topics in the Bible, you may want to limit your research by restricting your study to one book or to the Old Testament or to the New Testament. I have put some ideas in your notes for a topical study. If you look at page number 2 under Pick Your Topic, notice there's the idea of adoption. That's a short study, but that's a good study. What does the Bible say about adoption? Me being adopted into the family of Christ. Another good study is the blood of Christ. A little broader study may take a little bit more time as you look into the Old Testament and the types that point to Christ's blood in the New Testament, but it's a good study. Contentment. Ooh, that's a practical study. Not a long study, but there's some things that the Bible has to reveal about personal contentment in our lives, and maybe you're struggling with that. You know, what you're struggling with is usually something good to study in the Bible. Usually you're going to find some good things to help you in that struggle if you search the Scriptures on that topic. Money, revenge, foolishness, pride, parenting, joy, patience. Heard a good message on that last Sunday night. Kindness, God's mercy, giving, courage, righteousness, assurance, affliction, defilement, drunkenness, church, confession, conversion, covetousness, edification, forgiveness, faithfulness, fasting, godly fear, forgetting God, gifts of the Spirit, grace, hypocrisy, reproof, tongue. And to be honest with you, we could probably put 300 other ones on there. The Bible's limitless in the topics that you can study throughout the Scriptures. Dad, if you're having trouble going, huh, man, what do I do for family devotions next? Topical study. Show your kids how to do a topical study in the Scriptures. And so pick your topic. Lots of topics that you can choose from throughout the Bible. Then identify the cognates of the topic. For instance, if I'm studying redemption, all right, there are going to be a number of words in the Bible that are connected to redemption. The word redeem, the word redeemed, the word redemption, the word redeeming, the word redeemer. And so when you're thinking of a topical study, you want to write down all the different cognates, the endings of the word. Loves, loveth, loved, love. Because when you go to study it in a concordance, they're not going to put all of those under one heading. Each one of those will have references under it that you can look at. And so we identify the cognates of the topic. Then identify the synonyms and antonyms of the word that you are studying. For instance, you remember we did a study, I think it was 2 years ago, in the summer, on paths that we find in Proverbs. All kinds of different paths. And in that study, as I walked through Proverbs in each chapter, I walked through each chapter looking for different words that would communicate the same thing as path, or would be a word that is connected with the word path, the word way, the word in your notes, the word come indicates direction. The word abideth indicates something going along with way. Depart, departeth. Ditch, end, ends, enter. And you can see here in your notes on page number 2, if you're following along, my oh my, I found about 30 words in Proverbs that have to do with the ways of man. And boy, that was a rich study for me, and I hope it was for you. We gave you handouts every week and tried to bring principles out of the paths in Proverbs. And so you're looking up words that are connected with the word that you're going to study. For instance, if you're studying prayer, you may look up the word pray. You may look up the word cry. You may look up the word ask or call or supplication or intercession. There are a number of words that have to do with the word prayer that are associated with the word prayer in the Scriptures. And so we need to identify those words in our study. Number 4, be thorough. Be thorough. When you take up a subject, do not be content to study a few passages on the subject, but find just as far as possible every passage in the Bible on this subject. You want to be thorough in your study of that topic or that subject. Learn the meanings of the words used throughout the Scriptures. This is where your Strong's Concordance comes in. I'm going to explain something to you that's going to bring out how to do a word study as well as a topical study in the Scriptures. The word love itself appears 310 times in 280 verses in the Bible. And you can find this. I'm going to show you, give you a couple websites that you can go to and do this kind of research right off the web if you have access to the web, or you can find it in your Strong's Concordance. In the Bible, we see the term love, 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 love. And in the original language of the Hebrew, our Old Testament word love, there are 20 different Hebrew words that have been translated into our English language love, right? I'm going to show you that in terms of redemption. One of the terms that you're familiar with is the term phileo. In the New Testament, one of the Greek terms is the term phileo. Now, I don't give you a lot of Greek words in my preaching and teaching, primarily because I don't want to bore you to death and you're looking at it and saying, it's Greek to me, and it's Greek to me too. But I want you to understand a word study and a topical study this morning. And so phileo, when the word phileo is used in the New Testament, that word for love, it means to be a friend to another. It means to be fond of, to show tender affection. It's a love that can be developed. Phileo is based on the qualities in another person that you find admirable or attractive. So you grow to love somebody because you enjoy being with them. There's something that is attractive about them to you. Phileo love feeds on response. And so it cannot survive long without response from the other. Is it a bad love? No, it's a good love. It's a good love. But it's built on reciprocal. You want to be loved back. And you know what? All of us have that level of love. We have the ability to be drawn to somebody and enjoy a friendship, but we want that to be reciprocal. We want them to show friendliness to us. We want it to be a two-way street. That type of love is spelled out in the Scriptures. It requires attention. Phileo love gives as long as it receives. And that is conditional love. And we have relationships that are built on phileo love. Phileo love is never used in a command to men to love God in our Bible. Phileo love arises from a sense of pleasure found in the object loved. Did you know that the phileo love is spoken of in John chapter 5 and verse number 20 in relationship to the Father and the Son? The Bible says, and if you're in your Bibles there, you can look at this verse. It says, "For the Father loveth the Son, loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel." Here, the word in the New Testament is the word phileo, and the Father is demonstrating phileo love to the Son. So, now, is that the only kind of love demonstrated between them? Obviously not. But there's a friendship type love between the Father and the Son. That is that they have pleasure to be with each other. They have pleasure to speak to one another. And it is a reciprocal love. Okay? The Father toward the Son and the Son toward the Father. In John 11, verse number 3, if you have your Bibles handy or look at page number 3, you can see this love again. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And they were speaking of a phileo kind of love. In John 15, verse number 19, "If ye were of the world would love his own." Love in the way of phileo. The world would love as a friendship love here. But then there's another word in the New Testament for love, and it's the word agape. And you may have heard this distinction before. But an agape love is an unselfish love. It's a love that's ready to serve. It's a self-sacrificial love. And it's a love that's by choice, that doesn't love without... You can love without expecting anything in return. That love can continue without any response. Ooh. That's a little bit more heavy, isn't it? That's a little bit more stronger love. That's another level, if we could say it that way. And so as you're studying the New Testament, if you were doing a study on love, you would look at the different words in the New Testament that describe love. Turn to Romans chapter 5 or look in your page on page number 3, middle of the page. "But God commendeth his love toward us," agape love, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Wait a second. As sinners, we have no response to God. Right? A sinner doesn't have thankfulness for God. A sinner doesn't have a relationship with God. A sinner doesn't include God in his life. A sinner doesn't talk to God unless there's a tragedy and he cries out, "Help, God." But he doesn't care about God. And the Bible says that God proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, when there was no response coming back, Christ died for us. That's a different kind of love. That's a self-sacrificial love. That's an unconditional love. That's a love that God's going to have toward man, no matter what man, how man responds to him. Now, I want you to go over to 1 John chapter 4 in your Bibles or look at page number 3, verses 7 and 8. "Beloved, let us love," agape love, "one another. For love," that kind of love, "is of God. And everyone that loveth," agape love, "is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not," that is, you can't practice agape love. You don't know God. Knoweth not God. For God is love. See, the Bible, this particular topical study, and we're only very shallow into it on love, and I can't go into depth about it, but the Bible makes a clear distinction between the world and how it loves, and we saw that in John 15, verse number 19. They can love at the phileo level. They can love when there's response coming back that's reciprocal. Somebody loves me. I can love them. But what they can't do is they can't love without response. They can't unconditionally love. Because where does that love come from? That love comes from God. And he that is born of God, that's a born-again believer, that's a saved individual, can love like that. And he that can't love like that, he doesn't know God. He's not a believer in Christ. He doesn't have the capability. He doesn't have the internal resources to be able to love unconditionally like God loved us. And the Bible here says in 1 John verse chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another that way." Let us love one another as believers, even when, guess what? Love's not coming back. Marriages. Often in marital counseling, we cross this bridge. Well, you don't understand what he did to me. Well, you don't understand what she did to me. My, oh my, you're telling me to love them, but if you were in this position, you'd have a hard time loving. I tell them, I'm not saying it's not a hard time loving them. I'm saying that you have the capability to do that. And you have the responsibility to do that. As a believer, we have the responsibility to practice agape love. Difference, just in those two words, a difference. Notice how that love is expressed to God the Father in John 14, verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Now watch this. If agape love is self-sacrificing love, then how do I communicate that love to God the Father? I give up my own will to keep his commandments. And he says, "He that doeth that, he it is that loveth me." The way that you show God agape love is through obedience, no matter how hard it rubs against who you are. If God laid something out in Scripture, then you follow it, and it may eat up your own will. It may cause you to almost die in a sense that there's such this strong desire in your life that you can't give yourself to. "But he that loveth me is one that heareth my word and keepeth it." In John 14. In 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." How is that agape love shown from me to God? Not loving the world. Refusing to love the world so that God can see my self-sacrifice of loving him. That's the love that we're to demonstrate to one another, but it's also the love we're to demonstrate to God. And so, I summarize it there, this brief study between these two words. Phileo love for one another emanates chiefly from one's heart, the emotions and the will, whereas agape love originates from the head as a choice one makes independent of the loveliness or unloveliness of the recipient. The love is still the same. There's a third word in the New Testament, and by the way, there's a lot more words than this in just the New Testament for love. If you were to search the word love and you were to study it in the Strong's, you would see all these numbers out to the side for all these words, showing you that it's a different word. All right. Does that mean our translators messed up? Absolutely not. Our King James is 100% accurate. Okay. It just shows that there's different stresses of that word depending on the text that it is in. Titus chapter 1, verse number 8 gives us another word for love. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Here the Bible speaking of hospitable love for strangers and foreigners. There's a type of love that ought to be manifest in our lives, and that is towards strangers and foreigners. And what is the natural bend of us when a stranger walks in our building here? A visitor, a guest that we don't know, we've never seen. For most of us, it's not natural that we walk right up to them and we say, "Hello, my name is..." And it sure is good to have you at Mount Zion Baptist Church today. "What is your name?" It's not natural for us to stay around after church and get back to that person and make them feel at home, right? It's not natural for us to invite maybe somebody over that we don't know, a stranger or a foreigner. But indeed, the Bible talks about a type of love that the believer ought to have that is a hospitable love. You know what? I think most of us could probably circle that one and say, "You know what? I could grow in that." Or, "I need to grow in that." A hospitable love. We're more comfortable with the people we know, right? We're more comfortable with our family members and people in the church that we've known for 5 and 10 and 15 or 20 years. But the Bible's speaking here, and the Bible's talking about somebody that is a lover of hospitality. They have a love, their heart goes out, they are interested, they take interest in a person that is a stranger or a foreigner. And we ought to have that kind of love. And so, just a little bit of showing you how to look at words, understand the meaning of words, because they bring a lot of light to understanding that topic and how that topic affects our lives. On page number four, top of page number four, list the verses you have found to study on your topic. List the verses. So you use a topical Bible, or you use a Strong's Concordance, or you're using one of the resources, the tools that we've talked about. Now begin to list. And if you go to the back page, page number 8 has a bunch of blanks on it. You're going to see a place where you can follow the tips that I've given you in the lesson. You can read about the tips. And then if you actually go to do one of these studies, you can use this form to get started. And it will line out for you all the different steps to have the study. And one of them is list of Bible references to study, about the middle of the page there. And you write your Bible references down to study. You may find, if you're doing this in your devotions, you may find the first couple days are just kind of research. You're in the Strong's and you're looking up those different words and their meanings and writing down references that you're going to study in the days to come. But you're studying. Instead of just reading, you're studying the Scripture. All right? And so I've given you now an example of these three resources on the word redeem. And so here's the Strong's Concordance on redeem. And if you go to the website there, blueletterbible.org/search CFM, you can go in, type in any word in the Bible, and it will pull up the words just like I'm showing, and it will give you the statistics. So the word redeem is mentioned 56 times in the Scripture, used in 40 verses, all right? Then it's going to give you a breakdown of those words. How many Hebrew words there do you count for the word redeem? Somebody just go through that portion right here and tell me how many Hebrew words are there for the word redeem. 7? Okay, so there are 7 Hebrew words, and then out to the side you're going to see the definition the Strong's definition for those words. And so some of them might have a little bit different flavor than one of the other words. But redeem is tied to all of them, okay, or redeemed. Then flip the page over to page number 5, and in the New Testament, how many words do you have in the original language for the word redeem? 4. So there are 11 words in Scripture used in your Bible that communicate the concept of redeem. All right? Then I typed in the word redemption. All right? This is a cognate of redeem. I went to Blue Letter Bible. I typed in redemption in that box, and I got this list of words, 5 words that communicate the idea of redemption, and some of them overlap if you would compare. And so there are 20 occurrences of redemption. So if you're just studying redeem and redemption, you've got 76 verses to look at. Just in those two words. We haven't looked at redeemed. We haven't looked at redeemer. We haven't looked at redeeming, which we know there's redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so just in those two words, and I'm talking, you go to that website, you type it in, you have it in 5 seconds. All of the lists of those words. Say, Pastor, this looks like this will take me forever and ever. Not if you have your tools. Your tools will help you in Bible study to make great use of time. And so, and they're words out to the side of deliverance. Next page, 6, page number 6. I've taken the second resource, Torrey's topical textbook on redemption. And this is all that Torrey recorded about his study on redemption. And so you open Torrey's topical textbook and you're going to find the definition of redemption in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. You're going to find it being of God in those verses. And all through, he's outlined all kinds of things about redemption. And you can take that for a week and study a few points of redemption every day just off of Torrey's topical textbook. What I'm trying to show you is this. It's not hard. Oftentimes, we're intimidated about Bible study. We just think, just reading, because if I just read, it's the most simple way to understand the Bible. No, there are different ways to study, and folks, it's not real hard. You get a couple books. If you're on the web, you go to a couple websites. You have tools that will do a lot of work for you, bring a lot of things to light for you that you can further study on your own. And you're an investigator, and God's giving you all kinds of truths about the doctrine of redemption or about the truth about love in the Scriptures. And listen, you can study it for the rest of your life and not get it all. The Bible, a topical study. Next page, page number 7. Third resource I talked to you about was the New Knaves Topical Bible. And I, again, went to a website, and I have this book in my library, but I went to a website, I found the topical Bible, I typed in redemption. I hit enter. And that whole paragraph popped up on redemption. And so Knaves is going to give me some information. Oh, there's redemption of people's property, of persons redeeming people back. There's redemption of the firstborn. There's redemption of our souls. Words that are related are atonement and ransom in the Bible. Oh, those are some words that are with this that I can put down in my study to look up in the Bible. The word ransom has a lot to do with redemption. Ransom is the price that Christ paid in order to purchase me back, to redeem me. And so the Knaves Topical Bible can also be a help, all right? And that brings us to page number 8. And the tools for the study, I've given you where to purchase them, but I've also given you where to find them on the web. And you can go and you can find those things and you can do your own study. And you can record the truths that you've learned from the references that you've looked at. And then you can determine why this is important and apply it to your own life and develop a plan of application. Brethren, we've been through a lot in this study. And to be honest with you, I hope it stretched you. I hope for believers that have been a part of our church for some time, I hope you've seen that, you know what, I can grow, I can give more of myself to Bible study. I can get beyond reading. I can do a character study. I can observe like we have in Sunday school class. I can interpret and find the proper interpretation. I can make application with the help of the Spirit of God to my own life. I can do a topical study. I could look up a topic and learn what that topic, what God says about that topic in the Bible. Listen, this book wasn't written for the preacher. Now, I love it. And I thank the Lord for our church. Many of you work in so many ways to free me up that I get to spend lots of time in the book. More time than you would probably get as a church member. But God wrote it for you. It's His love letter to you. And there's a lot in it for you. And you'll get some of it from being in services at Mount Zion Baptist Church, but you will get, oh, so much more if you learn to become a student of the Word. My job, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip you. That's the pastor's job. I'm to equip you to do the work of the ministry. I'm to equip you so that you know how to have a walk with God. I'm to equip you to know how to study the Bible. Now, the truth of the matter is, we've put it in handouts. We've given you forms that you can use. I don't know how to get any more in your lap than what I've given you. Any more simple with steps for each way of study and how to observe and what to look for and all those things. But the truth of the matter is this, I can put it in your lap, but I can't make you take the time to do it. You're a stronger believer when you take the time, when you've been equipped to try something, to launch out into something you haven't done before. And Christian, let me encourage you today at the end of this Sunday school hour and at the end of this series, launch out in Bible study. You've been given some things here, some valuable things. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to get you beyond the reading level. If you will set out and say, you know what? The month of July, which starts tomorrow, I'm going to do a character study this month. Or I'm going to do a topical study this month. Or I'm going to work through the observation, interpretation, application of a text this month. I'm going to stretch myself. I'm going to put to use. I'm going to exercise myself and put to use what I've learned. Let me encourage you to do that. Make these lessons valuable to yourself.